Please turn in your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James and chapter 1. You may remember that the book of James has a lot to say about living the Christian life. And he's concerned to show us that faith without works is dead. And in this passage we're looking at this evening, he is concerned that we not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. So we're going to read James chapter 1, beginning the reading at verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit widows and orphans in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Amen. Well, in the passage we have before us this evening, James confronts us with three kinds of people. Three kinds of people. Two of which, James says, are self-deceived. Self-deceived. In other words, they have bought into a lie, and they believe a lie, and they are self-deceived. They think they're fine, but really they've bought the lie. The other type of person, we're told, is blessed in his service to God. These three types of people are the hearers only, the doers only, and those that James describes as those who hear and do. You see, the Bible in this passage this evening is described like a mirror. It reveals to us what we really are. And if we only have the sense to look into the scriptures with an open heart, we will see who we really are by nature and who we are in Christ. This evening we want to give serious attention to these three portraits that the scriptures give us, and humbly ask ourselves, which one describes us? Paul commands us in 1 Corinthians 10, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. While the first two groups of people properly describe a person who is unsaved, they also stand as warning signs to those of us who are saved. It's possible for the Christian, actually, to backslide. Such to the point that to the outward observer, we were barely distinguishable from the reprobate, from the non-Christian. Satan wants to make you ineffective in the Christian life. He doesn't want you strong in the Lord. He doesn't want you to be a hearer and a doer of the word of God. He will try to push you to one or the other extreme. Let's look at these three types of people this evening. Firstly, we have the hearers only. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's clear that there are two kinds of hearing, aren't there? There's a kind of hearing which just the noise goes into your head and bounces around your brain and then comes out the other ear. It doesn't really make a difference in your life and isn't received in the heart. It's possible to be someone who hears, but not to listen, not to pay attention, not to have the word in not only in our minds, but in our hearts, and to come out in our lives, to move our affections. Paul says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There are people who sit in church pews across the nation, week after week, who come, and they come to hear some nice words, and they get in their car, and they drive home, and then they come back week after week, and they do it all again, and they think that they are right with God. But they are natural men, not spiritual. The word of God doesn't truly reach their hearts. And James describes these men in verse 23 and 24 as like men looking into a mirror. No sooner do they see their reflection and they're away. And they promptly forget what they look like. Yes, the word of God is like a mirror. It shows us what we are by nature. We all think that we're, naturally, we all think that we're good people, don't we? I'd wager if you asked anybody out there on the street, do you think you're a good person? Most people are going to tell you, yes, I think I'm a good person. Do you think God would be pleased with your life? You know, I think God would be pleased with my life. I'm not that bad. I don't steal. I've never killed anybody. But Paul says, I would not have known sin except through the law. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The law shows us how far short we really fall from God's standard. We can't keep the law. We hear those words, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet. And we begin to see, as we hear those words, the contours of our face staring us back in the mirror of God's word. Literally from the Greek, this is the face of our birth. The face of our birth. The face we all come into the world wearing. We all have this natural man, an original sin, and a heart which is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And then we hear Jesus in the New Testament expounding the law, and he goes deeper, doesn't he? He shows us the true intent of the law. He says, you shall not murder, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Anger. That's closer to the heart. Then he says, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And there the Bible begins to fill in the details of our face, doesn't it? It shows us every spot, every wrinkle. The longer we look at it, the longer we stare at it, the more horrifying the face is that comes back to us, isn't it? Nathan went to David, didn't he? And he shared with David a word from God in 2 Samuel. And he paints this picture to David in a story of a man who steals the poor man's sheep. And David's anger boils in him. He hates the picture that he sees in this man. His anger is roused, and he says, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Suddenly David realized that the face that he so hated when he heard the word of God was his face. His face. There is no hiding from the word of God. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God shows us what we are by nature. And yet, remarkably, what does James say here? The man who hears the word and doesn't do it, he's like somebody who catches a glimpse of his awful face in this mirror of God's word. But as soon as he leaves, he forgets it. He may have sat there in the pew feeling a little bit uncomfortable when that passage was read from the law. But he gets up and he forgets it, and it's like water off of a duck's back. He can get on with his life. He's done his bit. He's sat and he's listened. But it doesn't really change his life. It doesn't really change the way he lives. And James says that such people are self-deceived. Why? Why are they self-deceived? Because they've bought into a lie. Have you bought into a lie? Have you bought into a lie? That just hearing the word of God in your ear is enough? The lie that simply because you come to church and listen, that you're okay with God, and that your faith is the real thing? Jesus tells us about this kind of person in Luke chapter 6. He says, "He who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Why was the ruin of that house great? Because that man built a beautiful house there on the sand. But because he was only a hearer, not a doer, because the word of God hadn't penetrated any further than his skull, he hadn't laid his foundation on Christ. This is the man who hears the gospel and it's in one ear and out the other. No hand of faith clinging to Christ. No good works to show that faith is genuine and real. Such was Herod. Herod loved to hear John preach. He heard him gladly. But did he change his life? Did he repent of his illicit relationship? Did he come on his knees and say, "John, how can I be saved? How can I change my life?" And he didn't. But he heard John gladly. Don't harden your heart, dear brothers and sisters. If you are here tonight and you don't know Christ, and you know that in your heart you don't have a faith that's real, open your heart. Be not a hearer only. Your faith, if it makes no change in your life, be warned that it is dead faith, as James later goes on to explain in such detail. The hearer only. But secondly, we have the doer only. Second type of person is the outwardly religious Christian, involved in so many good works and so many outreach projects, but has not truly heard the word of God in their soul. Look at verse 26. "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Now, the word religion here refers to that external form of Christianity. It encompasses what we do, our worship, our acts of service to God. But it isn't the heart of what Christianity is. It's what people see on the outside. So this man, he considers himself to be religious, implying that He isn't truly religious. He just thinks he's religious. He isn't religious in that inner sense of heart religion and heart piety before God, his maker. Doing the works of the Christian life for the approval of his God. He just thinks he has a good show before the world. He's his own judge. Rather than allowing the word of God, which is the mirror of his soul, to be his judge. There's no listening to the word of God in this person. Because he uses his own standard and he measures himself by his own yardstick. And so it's possible to do a lot of things. To do a lot of religious service. And yet for it all to be worthless before God. But what renders that worthless before God? This one's religion is useless, verse 26. Well, there's something that betrays the heart of this man, isn't there? Although he may seem to be serving God and seem to be serving others, there's evidence that he hasn't heard the word of God in his soul at all. He can't bridle his tongue. He can't bridle his tongue. James later goes on in the book to describe the great danger of the unbridled tongue. He says it is a little member and boasts great things, a fire and a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body and it sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Listen to what else he says about the tongue in verse 2 of chapter 3. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, all able also to bridle the whole body. He says that if a person can bridle his tongue, he can steer the whole ship. He can steer the horse. If he can bridle his tongue, he can bridle all his passions. So the bridling of the tongue is a test of whether our faith is genuine. Because it's something that we naturally think very low of. Our speech, it's empty. It's here, it's there. We say this, we say that. Words are cheap. Not to God. Words are not cheap to God. God listens to everything we say. And the Bible says in Matthew 12, "For every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Your faith will be seen as genuine or false by what comes out of your mouth. This man, he has this religion, he has all these things he does, and yet, listen to what he says. Listen to how he cannot bridle his tongue. The word of God hasn't been heard in his soul. We expect that the Christian has a heart change and a mouth change, set free from bondage to sin, enabled to bridle our passions. This is what we expect in the Christian, isn't it? This is normal for the Christian, by the Holy Spirit, to gain control over his passions and what he says. But this man cannot. He doesn't receive the word of God in his heart, because if he did, his life would be changed. God hates false, empty religion, doesn't he? He says in Amos 5, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. They had all the external trappings of religion, but not faith in God. And the root problem is really the same for these two groups of people, isn't it? The group that hears but doesn't do. The group that doesn't hear and tries to do. The problem is both lack a true relationship with God. Both are sadly self-deceived. This person may think that he's a nice person, a good person, doing good things. Yet Jesus describes him in Matthew 7. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And Jesus says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You who practice lawlessness. But thirdly, we have the third group, the hearer and the doer. We must beware, because as Christians, we can fall into both of these traps. On the one hand, we can fall into inactivity in the Christian life, reading good books, listening to sermons, but do we ever put it into practice? It's all in the head, not in the heart, and not in the hands. Do we serve the needy? Do we do what we read? On the other hand, we can get caught up by doing good works in the Christian life and trusting in them, thinking our religion is worthy before God, considering ourselves to be truly pious, and in reality, we've stopped listening to the word of God. We've stopped living by faith, and we've reverted to living by our own works. Our tongues are loose, our passions unbridled, and we've reverted to trusting in our works to sanctify us. James says that the true Christian is different. What does James say? He says the true Christian looks into the perfect law of liberty, there in verse 25. Or rather, as the Greek has it, he peers into. And this implies, it conveys the sense that we may not understand everything, but we want to. We peer into, we search the scriptures. And this person hears the word, but doesn't forget it. It goes into their head, it's received in the heart, and it's practiced in the life. In verse 25, the looking glass, as it were, of the word of God is described as the perfect law of liberty. What a wonderful way to describe the Bible. The perfect law of liberty. This is what the law is to the Christian. It's a liberating thing, not a taskmaster that condemns us any longer. He looks in the word of God to see what his life should be, and he finds it a freeing thing. And have you not found that to be the case? Before you were a Christian, the law condemned you. But now that you're saved, the law is sweet. It's that freedom and joy. By it, we learn to please God. We learn to love him. And when we look into the perfect law of God, what do we see? Well, the word of God shows us our natural face, our old sinful nature, as in a mirror. But it also shows us the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, we love to see the face of Jesus in this looking glass. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 about the way the veil is taken away from the face of the Christian, that he might behold by faith something of the glory of Christ. He says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There in the looking glass of God's word, we see the face of Jesus. The face we're being transformed into as we're sanctified in this life. From glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit who works within us. And the contours of that face and the details of that face of Christ are seen in his good works throughout his life. His loving acts of kindness and sacrifice. And what is immediately striking about Christ's life is the care that he has for the poor and needy, isn't it? The care that he has for widows and orphans and those who have no protection. The poor and the downtrodden. And God the Holy Spirit is seeking to produce in us the same pure and undefiled religion which we see abundantly present in the life of Christ. He's making us into his image. Do you remember the story of Luke 20? Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, beware of the scribes who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. And then what does he see in the very next passage? And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also the certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. She, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. The more I've meditated on this passage, the more I've thought that Jesus is angry. He's angry. Here is a system that ought to have cared for the widow. She's putting in the last few coins. Oh yes, he commends her giving heart. And yet it shouldn't be this way. We read earlier from Deuteronomy about the provision made for widows and orphans in the law. And I would read in addition to that from Deuteronomy 14. At the end of every 3rd year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Hear the Lord's heart for widows and orphans. You see, the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy is wonderful because it shows us the heart of God. It shows us what's important to God. And what is important to God? The widow and the orphan. They must be looked after. In Deuteronomy 10:18, it says that he, the Lord, administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. And here Jesus stands in the temple, seeing this sham religion played out before his eyes. They ignore the very heart of the law. Is it any wonder that he goes on in the next few verses to say, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another, that shall not be thrown down? And is it any wonder that James says here in verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is pure, undefiled religion. How do we live up to this? Is this us? Are we hearers and doers of this pure and undefiled religion? Are we following the pattern that Christ laid out for us? Praise God that he's raising up deacons in our church. Men who will lead us in this. Men that will help us to care for the needs of the saints and those around us. This is what Christianity should be known for. It was in the early days of the church. The church was just days old, just weeks old, and they were already caring for the widows. It was immediate. They knew it was their duty. And the apostles were even risking losing time in the word and in prayer in order to serve tables. And they said, this can't be. We need men to do this work. They didn't wait until they had deacons to do this work. They were already doing it. This is what the church does. It cares for the needy. It cares for the poor. This is pure and undefiled religion, as James says. There are many good works in the Christian life, but this in particular is at the heart of it. Caring for the lowest of the low, the outcast, the people who you're never really going to get a reward from. You're never really going to get anything in return. People that the rest of the world despises. And other religions fail at this. Islam boasts big things about caring for the poor, but does it really? Does it really care for the poor? Hinduism has its caste system, and the secular humanism of our day boasts big things, but where has it all gotten us? What do we see in our nation? Abortion, euthanasia, killing those that have no protection. No one to protect and look after them. That's us. In our modern day, will we be different? Yes, we will be different.
As we conclude, I hope this evening we have looked in the mirror of God's word and can say that we're not just Christians in name only, but a Christian who hears the word and does the word. Let us not, after gazing at the face of Christ in the looking glass of God's word, and after gazing upon what we were created to be in him, leave here and forget. Don't forget this week that you are an adopted son of God. You're going out into this week, you're going into the battlefield, you're going to have to battle with temptation and sin and the devil who hates you. Remember who you are in Christ. You are his beloved son, his beloved daughter. Don't forget that, as Paul says, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May we all strive to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. May the Lord help us to do so. Amen.